It's Cofield and Company on ESPN Las Vegas and ESPN Reno.
It is Cofield and Company. Welcome in Reno, our friends up north. I was actually blown away by this. I can talk about it now that our friends in Reno are here. I was in Utah last week for the UNLV Utah State game, and we're going to get into some of the Mountain West Conference machinations here with Reno and UNLV, part of that Mountain West Conference going forward. But I was up in the Salt Lake area, kind of driving around. I went kind of on a tour of colleges because I had a free day on Saturday. I wanted to see some of the arenas. Went to Weber State, went to University of Utah. Actually went out to Park City to see some of the old Olympic venues and check out the city there as well. Really the some of the scenes from where Dumb and Dumber was filmed. That was the most important part. But in my mind, I was like, hey, I'm so far north of Vegas. Like, Reno's right around the corner from here. This is cool. And then I saw a sign on the freeway that said Reno 548 miles. Like, what? It's Salt Lake City is farther from Reno than Vegas is? That's crazy.
Salt Lake City is farther than Reno.
Farther from Reno than Las Vegas is from Reno.
Yeah.
I thought Salt Lake City, like, we go straight north, so it's like right there. It is not. And Reno's very far west. That's a trivia question. I think Reno's west of Los Angeles.
Yeah, that's a big trivia question. Yeah. It's like, which one's further west or east? Yeah. Yeah.
But I'm usually pretty good with geography and directions. That one, there's no way I would have guessed that Reno is that far from Salt Lake City. But I guess you guys are not neighbor cities. Although, all the signs when you're in Salt Lake say the exit, like exit that way, toward Reno. Because there's no cities in between.
You visited the different campuses, different which you know I did over the summer, but sure. Let's talk about Park City a little bit because you and I were talking about it in the press box the other day.
Playground of the Rich and Famous.
I was waiting for a, which by the way, I did read the Jackson Woodard column. I told you I'd catch up to that.
Sure.
But I was hoping for a story on something Olympic related. I was like, oh, Adam's going to check out for the Olympics are coming.
I did. I wanted to check out some of the sites. I didn't have much time, and I was trying to get to – man, it didn't work out well. I was trying to get to a spot to have lunch, kind of look over the mountains, and watch the Tigers in Game 5, and not as fun as I was hoping, for sure. But, yeah, it was a cool place for sure. I want to go back there when I have a little bit more time. But there was a major festival going on, so it was like we couldn't park. They were trying to do the most amount of people taking a shot from a shot ski at the same time. There were skis lined up the entire length of Main Street, like a mile and a half or something.
Yeah.
And everybody's going to do a shot at the same time. And I had to leave. I couldn't really participate in anything like that. But I was like, oh, this is cool.
Isn't it wild, though, when the little towns like that, when they have something, it is like it's being on the strip.
Everybody's there.
Two summers ago when I did my cross-country drive, I drove through South Dakota. And when I got to the western part of the state, Sturgis was taking place.
Okay. I would have stayed away from there.
But which I did. But I wasn't going where it was held, but it was just wild because the highways, it was just convoys of choppers. A couple of little towns that I stopped through, though. I mean, it was packed.
That's wild.
Little town, yeah.
Well, you know this is wild? Big Four.
Battleborn Injury Lawyers presents The Big Four at Four. Number four.
So, I know Griffin is going to be interested in this. Donald Cerrone, former UFC fighter, former WEC fighter, been fighting for as long as I've been covering the sport, which is like almost 20 years at this point. Crazy. I've been around that long. He's deciding to come out of retirement for a very specific reason. He's 41 years old, retired a couple years ago, but he's had 48 fights combined between the UFC and the WEC. He said, you know what? It's always bothered me I didn't get 50. I'm going to get 50. So he's going to come back, get those two fights. Griffin, I know you love fighting. Do you want to see it? I don't want to see this.
If it's for the right reasons, and if it's for that exact reason.
It's not the right reasons. He wants to fight 50 times.
I would count that a better reason.
It's not the right reason.
It's a whole lot better than a lot of other reasons why guys or girls
retire. What would be worse?
Like
if he just broke?
Kinda, yeah. As long as he's coming.
I think it'd be good. At least you're fighting for money at that point.
If it's a legacy thing, yes. I don't want to see a guy like Donald Cerrone forced to come back to fighting because whether it's pay or he doesn't have enough money or something. That's sad. That's heartbreaking. But if he's coming back for a legacy standpoint, I'm all for it.
There's also a lot of issues here with Donald Cerrone. First of all, I think the other reason that he's doing this is he clearly is an adrenaline junkie. Clearly needs an outlet for competitiveness and for just wild things to do. He was driving a car in like Nitro Cross, which is a UFC adjacent property, and I'm not sure that that's going to be around anymore. So he doesn't really have that option. So
dude's been like riding bowls, like he's gotten a hair transplant. He's been going crazy in retirement.
And also on a lot of steroids,
a whole lot of steroids,
and like open about it. So this is going to be very much a test of the UFC's testing protocol, which they take over by themselves, by the way, leaving USADA and running it themselves. How is this going to work? Supposedly, he's going to have to get back in the program. We'll see. I have questions, certainly. I think a lot of other people do, too. How is this going to work out? I really like Donald Cerrone. I'm happy for him if he's happy. It's not something I need to say. It's not something I'll be like, you know what? You know what, Review Journal? There's two other things going on that night, but I really need to be at this fight. If there's nothing else, then yes, I'll go. I want to see it. It's not something I have to see.
If a guy like Donald Cerrone, or not a guy, sorry, if a guy like Tony Ferguson could still be fighting in the UFC on an 8-fight losing streak, nobody wants to see Ferguson keep doing what he's been doing to himself. But I would much rather see Donald Cerrone come back and try to get 50 total fights under his belt than to see Tony Ferguson continue this onslaughter of just self-abuse.
He even shouted out his TRT company that he's been working with, Transcend, in his statement. So let's see how this works, I guess. Donald Cerrone coming back. Two more fights to get to 50. We'll check that out.
Number three.
The Rays are safe. Is everybody excited about this? This is big news.
Seven of them.
There are Rays that live, Stingrays, that live in the stadium in Tampa. Obviously, I think a lot of people saw the damage. We talked about earlier with Ashley Vice. The Golden Knights are going down there. Saw a lot of damage to the ballpark in Tampa. It was not something I thought of right away, but after a little bit, I started to see the reports of, how are the Rays? Did the Rays survive?
Yep.
Turns out they did, and they've been relocated to an aquarium.
Safely. Yep.
I don't know how much... I don't know. Griffin's about to write notes. He's going to tell us that the Rays are no longer safe. we're doing this, and then the Rays didn't quite make the adjustment to the aquarium. I don't,
actually found a catchy promo to clip and edit for social media.
You did, or he did?
No,
he's marking it down? Yeah. Gotcha, okay.
Always working, boys. Always working.
That's good. Did anybody call about the sweatshirts? Nobody?
Nothing yet, but okay. Man, I don't know how they're not. There's so many good, great, somewhat smelly jackets
here.
Was it the rats or the talking about the musk of it?
Don't be specific. Just joining us, we have a random bag of sweatshirts in the studio. If everybody wants one, hit up Griffin. They're giant sweatshirts, like 4X, plain black sweatshirts in a bag that may or may not be infested with some sort of something. Again, we're not being specific because we're for legal reasons. We don't know, but if you do take one, don't blame us if there's something in there. Moths or something. The Rays don't need clothes, though, from us. They're safe. They're at the aquarium. I think everybody should be happy. It's a good news story.
It is. It's a feel-good piece that came from some devastation. My question to you is, considering the how meticulous you are with the English language and history and factual information and making sure everything's do you cringe like I do when people, and as much as we love her to death, but Ashley actually said it and it's a mistake, it's not Tampa Bay,
it's Tampa, Florida.
It's the Tampa, Bay Florida. There is a Tampa Bay.
It's the Tampa Bay region,
right? But when you refer to the city,
it's Tampa.
It's Tampa. I do cringe when people say Tampa.
Yeah, but people do refer to the Tampa Bay region, and it's the Tampa Bay Lightning, Tampa Bay Buccaneers,
right? You have to say it, But if you're writing a story on the Golden Knights and they're heading to play the Lightning, you'll be like, when they arrive in Tampa.
Right.
Period. Not Tampa Bay.
Sure. Absolutely. There's no city called Tampa Bay. Right. That's true. And I'll be there in not too long when the Raiders go down there, hopefully. I actually have family down there that took a direct hit from two different storms recently. So not great for them. Not great for a lot of people. But good for the Rays. We're happy. I did see that they're in a petting. Like a touch tank?
Touch tank.
People can touch. There's literally zero chance I'm touching a ray.
What about a shark?
No.
What about an alligator?
You know the answer to this. No. No chance.
A snake.
Absolutely not. I'd be like the players freaked out at the Dodgers game yesterday because there's a snake in the dugout. You see that?
No.
That's me. Yeah, I'm actually a little worried that there is something in that bat. And I don't want to be in here for the most part right now. I want to get out of here.
Jordan, when he was younger, during a time when you just joined the RJ, when he was doing Taekwondo, one of the Olympic trips, he held an alligator in his...
Now
nope. They put a rubber band around the snout.
Nope.
But he had it.
Don't care.
And then he owned two snakes.
Out. Out. No chance. No chance. I went to the Crocodile Bridge in Costa Rica. You're way above them. I was out there for like 30 seconds.
I think we had that conversation.
Like, I'm out of here. And you're like 200 feet above them. No chance.
Yeah.
Don't want to see them. Don't want to be around them.
We went to a place on that trip when he held it to Gatorland.
No, I think I've driven by there and drove real fast. Sorry to the
New Orlando area.
Yeah, sorry to the police officers in that area. I drove like 150. It's like, I'm not stopping anywhere close to this. I hope the car doesn't break down. I'm going.
Number two.
Big news for the Steelers, potentially, who just left Las Vegas and played the Raiders. Russell Wilson is going to take first-team reps this week. He's fully healthy. That would appear to indicate he will start this week against the Jets, who have, obviously, big developments of their own on that side. The question is, why? Why is Russell Wilson starting? Justin Fields has been fine. Justin Fields missed some throws badly on Sunday, but more than made up for it with what he's able to do with his legs. There's times where the offensive line completely breaks down. He's able to generate things with his feet. I don't think Russell Wilson can anymore, and I don't think Russell Wilson's the right answer. The Steelers are rolling. They should not change quarterbacks.
Things are working. Why, you know, if it ain't broke, don't fix it.
Yeah, and I can see if they're winning games like 7-6. They're just barely getting by. And I understand the stats. Like, there's a wild stat about what Justin Fields' record is when his team gives up more than 20 points. It's bad. But this is a team that's not going to give up a whole lot of points. He's going to score enough points to win the games that are close and low scoring. The Cowboys game was bad. He probably should have won that game. But I don't know that if you have... I'm not advocating Justin Fields to start over like Pat Mahomes. It's Russell Wilson. I think Justin Fields is probably the better answer for them right now. And they might be giving up some wins here by making this move. We'll see. But Mike Tomlin's a pretty good coach. Find out what he does. I hope there's no pressure being put on him to do this. You wouldn't think there is. Very interested to see how this works out because Russell Wilson was healthy as the number two quarterback last week and didn't play.
We're not going to reveal this, but I saw you put it in the rundown. There is something very important to discuss about the Pittsburgh Steelers playing the New York Jets because they just played the Raiders. Or just
sure.
Because they just played the Raiders.
Sure, that is maybe a betting angle for some people in terms of this game coming up. We're going to save a little bit of time here on number one because there's a little bit of time to talk about it. I'll tell you about that in a second. But first, who wants to go see Sam Hunt live in concert? Two nights, October 25th and 26th, the Fountain Blue, Las Vegas. Tickets at Ticketmaster.com. Sam Hunt at the Fountain Blue. Two tickets for the October 25th show to caller 5, 364-1100. Caller 5, 364-1100. Two tickets to go see Sam Hunt. We come back. The West Virginia coach says, hey, we stink. But you should come to the games anyway because, man, is it fun.
It's Cofield and Company on ESPN Las Vegas and ESPN Reno.
It's Cofield and Company here on this Tuesday. Adam Hill, Willie Ramirez, in for Steve Cofield, enjoying some well-deserved time off. Save this for the Reno Hour because, obviously, Reno part of Mountain West Conference like UNLV is, and there's been a lot of developments the last couple of weeks that have all kind of led up to today. The comings and goings team about October 12th, almost exactly a month ago, we learned that four teams at the time were leaving the Mountain West to go to the Pac-12. A fifth was added when Utah State joined them. UNLV then had a decision to make, kind of save the Mountain West by sticking around or take the invitation and go to the Pac-12. They decided after getting a massive and very lucrative settlement offer, including money and a whole bunch of other concessions, that they were going to go ahead and stay in the Mountain West. They also added UTEP, but they only had seven full-time members, eight for football with Hawaii, who was in the Big West for the rest of their sports. Brief flirtation with Texas State did not work out. So they needed an eighth team. And today they officially got it with Hawaii. joining the league. I'll be interested to find out exactly what kind of deal they came to. There were some of the sticking points that were out there, and again, UNLV and Reno both in the Mountain West. This starts all July 1st, 2026, when all these kind of moves happen, and so it's two more academic years of the current league the way it is, and then they shift over. The Pac-12 obviously needs to find some more schools, but the sticking points with Hawaii for coming over to the Mountain West full time were some of the deals that they had worked out. If you remember, it was back in 2002, they were kind of left scrambling. The breakup of the WAC, the Mountain West was forming. That was a little bit before that, and then Hawaii was left kind of figuring it out. They did join for football in the Mountain West and stayed there. But they took the rest of their programs to the Big West. A lot of those schools are in California. And there was a lot of deals done, both in football and the other sports, in terms of Hawaii paying travel costs. Because obviously teams have to pay a lot of money to go play in Hawaii. Now, Hawaii also has to pay a lot of money to come play on the mainland. But Hawaii got a whole bunch of money. They had to pay a whole bunch of money to these schools to be in their league. Like, hey, we'll be in the Big West, and we're going to pay every school, it comes out to like $150,000, something like that, per school for the travel, and $175,000 for the mountain time zones for the Mountain West. So a lot of money, and they don't get any offsets for their own travel. And so going into a conference now, they said, hey, something's got to be done about this. Mountain West has all this money. Why are we still paying them? And you need us. So I would imagine some of that got taken care of. But in the end, Hawaii probably was the best option for the team to join the Mountain West to become that eighth member.
If no one else was coming from the options that were out there. But I think the options that they would have wanted, those options are looking – they're hoping that they're going to be eventually down the road go into Big 12.
Well, that's what everybody hopes for sure. UNLV hopes that too. I know that they wanted like Tarleton State and they wanted Texas State. Texas State does spend a lot of money. I get it. And it adds a different market, all those things.
Tarleton State would not have been.
But Tarleton State was one of the – it was like Hawaii or Tarleton State. Like,
yeah, then you go Hawaii. Yeah. And there's built-in – there are some built-in rivalries there. And no, it's, remains to be seen with their basketball team. But, I mean, there's enough allure there for some of the other sports that it is the right fit, like you said. There are relationships that were built when there was no Mountain West and it was the WAC. So I think it's the right move to do for the Mountain West. It's the right team. They're now locked up as an official conference. So I think it was bound to happen, and that's the final linchpin. That's the right option.
And so we'll see what some of the deals are here, how this all adds up, how it all works out in terms of what was promised, what was delivered. But obviously Hawaii had gotten a very small percentage of the buyout money that is being paid from the Pac-12 schools that are leaving. UNLV and Air Force got the largest percentages, then some of the other legacy schools, and then Hawaii got the least because they were football only. They were asking, I know, for a fuller share of that. I don't know if they got it. We'll find out exactly what some of the details are in the coming days. But for now, at least, the Mountain West with UNLV and Reno has 8 full members, which means they are recognized as a conference by the NCAA, which means they can hold championships and all those other things, and they're recognized for automatic bids, all those sorts of things. So that also enables them, if they do want to continue to expand, to be a little bit more selective. They don't need another school. I know that for football only, they want Toledo, which is in the Eastern time zone, or Northern Illinois in the Central time zone. Obviously, what that would do is they can go sell a television package, which would include all 5 time zones. Which could be, beneficial for a network that's like, hey, we want to have football all day every Saturday, some Fridays, some Thursdays, all time zones, and that could be good. So that's beneficial. I know Hawaii has been pitching themselves as the get out game, the gambling school that people want to watch because it's their last bet of the day. If they're losing, they can try to get back to even. If they're winning, they can try to turn their profit into a bigger profit. That's how they're marketing themselves. I know they have a deal here with Circa Downtown to be the exclusive home of some of their broadcasts. So a lot there in terms of Hawaii staying in the Mountain West. I think it's a good thing for everyone. And Mountain West Media Day coming up the next couple of days, you'll hear a lot of talk about the Mountain West in the future and all those sorts of things. Get to UNLV's game in a couple of minutes. But first, I'm carrying on a tradition of Steve Cofield unlike any other.
Okay.
That is the failure to deliver on a tease.
Oh, yeah.
We said before the break we were going to get to number one.
Never did.
Never did.
Forgot about it. I'm going to make you forget about it for one more minute because I do want to share something real quick just because we're talking about hockey. The Golden Knights game is on. The Capitals are up 1-0. But very cool moment that just took place in Columbus. The Blue Jackets came out, took the opening draw against the Florida Panthers with no left winger in honor of Johnny Gaudreau. First 13 seconds runoff. And pretty cool moment there because this is their home opener. They played the first two games on the road. So just kind of wanted to mention that.
Tough moment, obviously, for people in Columbus. Tough summer to deal with for sure and everybody around hockey. So good to point that out. Golden Knights trailing 1-0 early on. Not a whole lot of shots on goal yet, but one did go in for the Capitals. Nothing has gotten by Logan Thompson yet on the other side. So mid-first period, 1-0. So what we had teased was the West Virginia story, which is just a preposterous quote. An absolutely silly, ridiculous thing for a coach to say. West Virginia obviously has not been very good in football lately, have a pretty proud tradition, but they just haven't quite been there this past week. Once again, Iowa State comes to town. They have a lead early on. They lose. Eighth straight time they have lost to a ranked opponent in West Virginia football. So they're really struggling. A team that, you know, for a long time was ranked every year, was consistently one of the top 25 teams in the country, just haven't been there. And their coach, Neil Brown, has been, you know, facing some criticism about it. And people are saying, we're creating these great environments, because they are. It's one of the best environments in college football. It's crazy. It's passionate. Everybody's there screaming. It should be very tough for road teams to come in here and win, and yet you guys can't win. And somebody asked, why should people keep coming? Why should they keep creating this environment if you're not going to take advantage? And he said, I get that they want to win. But what I would say is, did they have a good time? Did they enjoy it? It was a pretty good atmosphere, you know? I'm assuming they probably had a good time tailgating. So if they're in the deal for enjoyment, then I would come back. I looked at the weather, and it's going to be nice again this week. Night game, and we need them to provide a home field advantage. All right, bro. Don't do this. This is not a Pop Warner team. This is major college football. Even if you feel this way.
Not good either for, I mean, entire athletic program. When you think about the two big sports that bring the income in is what has taken place with the program when Bob Huggins was there. But, you know, he had sort of brought that defense together. And then they had a bit of a demise, and then he is gone now. But the basketball program took a downward fall. Now this program, and he comes out and says this, 34-32 in his five-plus seasons at West Virginia. As you said, the Mountaineers, popular preseason pick to win the Big 12 this season after going 9-4 last year, but not too good right now.
No. And by the way, he went on. He had more to say because just stop. I mean, why not quit while you're behind? He kept going. It was an entertaining football game. If you're a football fan and just watching that, it's pretty entertaining. We just didn't play well enough to win, so I hope with that in mind they would come back for another entertaining game that hopefully we can play better at the end and win. All right, man. Just stop.
Wow.
This is, I mean, on some level he's not necessarily wrong. You can't say this as a coach. Let your marketing people say this. And they shouldn't be saying this. Stop.
It reminds me of a line from the movie Pure Country. George Strait was in.
What is this movie?
Pure Country.
This is from like the 50s?
No.
Okay.
But there's an older gentleman in there, and situation takes place, and he looks at George Strait, and he says, you know, that little white speck on the top of chicken crap, but he doesn't use word crap. He goes,
sure.
Bottom line is, it's still crap.
Okay. I mean, that is definitely the West Virginia football team right now. I'm actually looking up, oh boy, is this a good movie that you're referring to?
It's all right. It's nothing.
I'm a big Rotten Tomatoes guy in terms of movie reviews.
What does it give it? C?
41%.
What is that? That's not less good. Than
it's
a
out
C.
Of 100.
It's a D. Oh, so it's an F.
Yeah, it's out of 100. It's not good.
No.
I mean, I don't think I'm going to be checking this out. Is it about, it's like about country music?
It's about a country music star. George
disillusioned with the hollow performances.
He gets dismayed by his manager putting him on stage and doing all the fireworks and the so on and so forth, and he disappears and he goes to his hometown. The guy who actually steps in and does a look-alike, he does a like lip syncs his stuff, is the actor who plays the father in Friday Night Lights. That was like one of his first movies. But yeah, so
I mean, I'm glad you told me about it because I'm not watching it. Yeah.
End in Las Vegas.
Okay. If anybody out there wants to watch it, give us a review. That'll work. We'll come back on the other side. Keep things going. Kofi and Company on this Tuesday.
It's Kofi and Company on ESPN Las Vegas and ESPN Reno.
It's Kofi and Company here on a Tuesday. I've been wanting to talk about this for several days, and now we've got some confirmation, which is even better. I have often lamented that a lot of the coaches that I cover don't understand math, don't believe in analytics, don't think outside the box.
Don't like to go forward on fourth down.
Well, that's analytics and math. That's mostly math. It's an actual math problem that coaches fail time and time again. I want once to cover a coach. Even Barry Odom, who's unbelievable, and sorry, folks in Reno, that you have to deal with UNLV being this good because that coach is so good. Barry Odom is unbelievable. Very bad at math. In terms of, I don't know about his algebra or geometry. He's really, really, really poor, I think, in fourth down decision making. Very, very much errs on the side of caution, but incredibly good at his job. So you don't have to be analytically advanced to be a good coach. I think it helps. I think he could be even better. I do think Syracuse game might have been different if he understood math. But there is a lot there that I've always wanted to cover. I know I've famously pointed out when I often ask John Gruden about his analytic shortcomings, and one day he just had enough and said, "I know you think I'm an idiot."
Yeah.
Like, in terms of this, yes.
I think I was in there for that.
But what I really want is coaches who will find every rule loophole possible to exploit. Because to me, that's your main job as a coach. Like, yeah, recruiting in college, especially in college, unbelievable recruiting is that's at the top of the list. But in terms of like NFL, major league sports, finding loopholes, finding weird strategies, obviously taking advantage of math. Those are the most important things as a coach because everybody's got good players. For the most part, everybody's got good strategy. You got all these assistants that are working on game plans, that kind of thing. Your job as a coach is to find these things. And I have had some critiques. Actually, not a whole lot of critiques because Dan Lanning's been pretty good in general. Last year, he got criticized for some fourth down decision making that was actually correct. And he was right and people were wrong. What he did Saturday moves him near the top of my list in coach rankings. And for those that didn't see it, try to walk through exactly what happened here. Looks like Tomas Hertl suffered a bit of something. Oh, he's going over something with the coaches. Still 1-0 Capitals in the late first period here in that game. Late in the Ohio State-Oregon game, 10 seconds left in the game. Ohio State well out of field goal range. Only 10 seconds to play. There is a timeout on the field. They're talking strategy. They're trying to figure things out. They take the field. Dan Lanning sends out an extra player late on purpose.
Yep.
The point of this is they want Ohio State to run a play and not have it be successful. They want time to come off the clock. And they don't mind taking the 5-yard penalty because 5 yards – is not going to get them in a field goal range. So what I want you to do as Ohio State is run a play and not have it work. What's one good way to make that happen? Have an extra defender out there. The penalty is only 5 yards.
Right.
Throw a 12th guy out there to actually play defense, not like run off the field, to actually play defense. Ohio State runs the play. It's an incomplete pass because they're going against 12 guys, but they get 5 yards. But guess what? Time off the clock. Doesn't work in the NFL. In the NFL, time actually goes back on the clock. In college, time comes off.
It is what it is where the play ended.
Sure.
Right.
And so incomplete pass. They move 5 yards. 4 seconds are off the clock. Now it's down to 6 seconds.
And the important thing to note is how long was the intended pass?
It was short.
But
they wanted him to throw long.
Right.
Because it would have run more time. But they threw a short pass. It was incomplete.
Right.
Four seconds run off. So they only have 6 seconds to try to go. Ohio State runs a play. They actually get into field goal range, but they run out of time because of the 4 seconds that run off the clock. Dan Lanning did that on purpose. That is brilliant genius. He needs to be applauded more for that. Such good strategy. That's John Harbaugh level, and the Golden Knights have tied it 1-1. We'll come back. Sam Panayotovich on the other side.
It's Cofield and Company's Eye on Sports Gambling. Presented by Oasis Bar and Grill. Only on ESPN Las Vegas and ESPN Reno.
Back here, Cofield and Company. Usual Tuesday hang with Sam Panayotovich. Sammy P. You can find him up on Twitter at SP Shoot. The Chicken Dinner Podcast is phenomenal. How you doing, sir?
Doing good. I just read a tweet from one of my guys, Dave Mason, who directs a book offshore. And I'll read you three quick lines. Thursday night, huge winner for the public. Sunday was a record losing day for the house. Monday night football, the final blow, massive winner for the public. In summation, the biggest winning NFL week ever for the players by far. They rolled the books in the NFL over the weekend.
Does that mean regression is coming, or is that just an outlier?
It happens probably twice a season. I mean, you usually hear stories about how the public got crushed, but it was a horrible week, Adam, to be a home dog. From Thursday to Monday, home dogs 0-9 ATS. I got crushed. I had, let's see, Giants, Cowboys. Jacksonville wasn't a home dog, but the favorites just rolled. And this will happen in an 18-week season. This will happen a handful of times, two or three times. You don't feel bad for the books, obviously. Nobody driving around Vegas right now is saying, oh, boo-hoo for the books. But this does happen every once in a while. And anybody that made these 4, 5, 6-leg parlays, like I had a buddy of mine send me a parlay on Sunday afternoon. It was a 6-legger. It was $10 to win $2,000. And the last leg was Bengals minus 3.5. And that never tends to win when you parlay 6 favorites in the NFL. But sometimes everything lines up for the public, and that's certainly what happened on Sunday.
It's funny. Do you judge people when they – like a week like this, when they say they did well? Because I had a couple of friends that were like, I hit like 4 parlays. And I'm like, yeah, that means you're going to lose long term.
I don't know that it – well, parlay people definitely lose.
You know what I mean, though.
Yeah. No, I mean, there are some people that are very good at the correlated parlays, no doubt about it, and they parlay props, and they're very good at it. If you're parlaying 4, 5, 6 NFL favorites every week, you're going to win 2 weeks. But I don't know. Like the guy that made the $10 parlay to win $2,000, if he makes 17 $10 parlays, in his mind, you know, oh, I only lost 170 or whatever – it's wild. I never think that parlaying NFL favorites is the big deal, but you know, in the pool, I'm also in a couple pools, and in the pool this weekend, the guys that usually are in last place all went 5-0. Right. So it is what it is. It's easy for me to talk smack, but I'm looking at my entry in this pool, and I went 1-4. I went 1-4 in Circa Survivor or Circa Million for that matter. I don't know. It's tough, though, because, you know, when you get those texts on Sunday or on Monday from your buddies who you know don't win, and they're like, how could you pick the Cowboys? Isn't this your job? I go, yeah, I mean, I guess you're right. How did I pick the Cowboys? I don't know. It's one of those weekends where if you do this for a living, you sort of wonder, why did I overthink some of this so much? Let me tell you the guy that went 5-0. Let me pull up his picks real quick. He had stand by. He had the Bears, he had the Buccaneers, Packers, Ravens, and Bills. Favorite.
Worked out well.
Don't feel bad about your 1-4 because I think Team Cofield and Company also did the same. So Sammy P, if you look at the top of the ATS standings at this point, the number one team is surprising, maybe just as surprising to the general public in terms of what they've done thus far. Minnesota 5-0, and just behind them, Indianapolis. Although 3-3, 5-1 against the spread. Anything you're surprised at team-wise, not necessarily dog favorite, specific teams?
Well, Minnesota's, to me, the surprise of the season, Willie. This was a team around the draft that had a win total of 7. Some books were 6.5, others were 7.5. And for them to come out of the chute and not only win their first 5 games, but cover their first 5, I have multiple T-shirts from the Superbook that say good teams win, great teams cover. And you nailed it. Minnesota 1, Indianapolis 2, 5-1 ATS. Kansas City 4-1 ATS. That's a Super Bowl favorite that is 4-1 ATS. I think, you know, every conversation also has to include the Washington football team.
Absolutely.
4-1-1 ATS, yep, with Jaden Daniels, who's now -250 to win Rookie of the Year. Detroit Lions 4-1 ATS. Chicago Bears 4-1-1 ATS. A lot of teams that maybe people didn't see coming, Minnesota, Washington, Chicago, winning and covering. Yep. And then you go to the bottom and it's this simple. Why don't we just fade the Patriots, Dolphins, Titans, and Panthers every week? We know they're the worst teams in the league, but they're not covering by huge margin. Carolina is 1-5 ATS, not covering by 12 points per game. 12 against the number. That's not losing by 12. That's not covering by 12. Dolphins, Titans, Panthers. Awful teams that just aren't covering.
That's a Panthers team that came to Las Vegas and won.
Right. That's the only win they have, right?
Yes.
Yeah, this wasn't the proudest moment for the Raiders that were coming off a win at Baltimore somehow.
The best thing about that, let me just tell you, the best thing about that, Sammy V, I did not have to walk around Allegiant Stadium to the Panthers press conference because myself and my AP colleague, I cover the losing team on home games. So I didn't have to walk around the stadium.
It's nice. Right downstairs.
You look at it, too. You look at the Panthers' schedule. They've scored 10 points, 3 points, 10 points, 20 points, 24 on Cincinnati. Clearly has defensive issues. And then, whoa, 36 on Vegas. Mm. I mean, it doesn't even make sense.
One of these numbers is not like the other, for sure.
I know.
And that's going to happen a lot with the Raiders, I think, going forward. You mentioned schedule, and that's Sam Panionovich at SP Shoot up on Twitter, Chicken Dinner Podcast, and up on BetQL. I saw a video. I didn't get to watch the video, but I saw a tease for a video that you were in talking about buying low on the Jets. I have to assume this has a lot to do with the schedule because the schedule does get pretty easy coming up.
It was actually before they traded for Devontae Adams, too, because our show starts at 9 Eastern, goes to noon Eastern, and this was the first hour. We did a segment called, like, basically make or miss. Very creative name, I know, but that's the market. Will you make the playoffs or will you miss? And while they are 2-4, they've lost to the Niners, Vikings, Bills, and a Broncos team that has a top 5, top 7 defense. Their next few games, they get the Russ bus, Russell Wilson and the Steelers. Then it's Patriots. Texans will be a tough game, but that's in New York, or New Jersey for that matter. At Cardinals, home against the Colts, home against the Seahawks. 4-1, possible. I don't think 5-0. It's hard to win 5 straight in the NFL. Hell, it's hard to win 3 straight for some teams. But I looked at the price, and I thought plus 160 was just a little off, especially if they beat the next 2 teams they play. I thought Aaron Judge just hit a 3-run homer there. That would have been bad for me. I got some Guardians here. Infield fly. Whew. Oh, my God. He dropped it. Sorry. Baseball play-by-play.
Well, it's two guys
second
are on.
Baseman
it's
dropped
out, though, right?
A fly ball. He dropped a fly ball in the infield with runners at the corners. A routine infield pop-up. Dropped run score. Awful. But, I mean, the Jets beat the Steelers. What's the price? They go to -110, make to miss. And then they beat the Patriots, which I mean, let's be real. The Patriots are awful. So now you could bet them plus 160 to make. And then after these next two games, which they should win, I mean, Devontae Adams will play this weekend, then they go to minus 180 to make, and you can bet plus 150 to miss. So now you're free rolling the Jets. You got plus 160 to make and plus 150 to miss. You have to buy the dip. I'm watching ESPN this morning, Mike Greenberg. Oh, the Jets always do this. This is so Jets. They're going to miss the playoffs. That's the time to buy when they start talking about it on national television.
Did you see any movement? Did you check back in when the trade actually did go down?
It moved a little bit. I mean, most books came down. So one of the books, MGM, was at minus 200 to miss, and then they pulled them off the board. Everybody sort of came down, recalibrated the number, and then MGM moved them to minus 165 to miss. So they dropped it 35 cents, and Devontae Adams doesn't even know the playbook yet. But you have to basically expect the money to come in. When people see the ticker on the bottom of the TV, Jets acquired Devontae Adams, they just bet Jets. They're not betting no. They're not shorting Jets. They're betting Jets. Lowest price to make the playoffs is minus 150. Or minus 150 to miss the playoffs, rather. So, like, plus 130. Yeah, it's a fascinating market. I don't like the Jets. Like, I'm not going to sit here and say I like them to win the division or the conference, but that's a playoff roster. That lineup now on offense, Breece Hall in the backfield, Garrett Wilson, Devontae Adams, the line has been better. If Rodgers stays healthy, that still is a playoff roster. I'm not in love with their team. I'm not in love with 40-year-old quarterbacks. They're going to have every chance to get in. The quarterback just has to stay healthy and stay on the field.
How do we feel about the coaching staff?
I don't feel great. They hired, not hired, they essentially promoted the OC, Todd Downing, who when he was in Tennessee, he took over an Arthur Smith offense that was top five in points. His first year as OC, they were about 15th. His second year, they were 28th, and then they got rid of him. So I don't know that that's the move, but if you think that Aaron Rodgers isn't the GM and the head coach and the coordinator, you're crazy. I mean, he's running the show there. Everybody knows that.
Oh, yeah. We covered that earlier.
Yeah. Coach, GM.
He's on the on the letterhead at the very bottom where it says president, GM, everything. His just name is all the way across.
I loved when the story broke about Saleh getting fired and some Jets reporter came on TV and said, well, Aaron Rodgers had nothing to do with it. Okay. Right. Aaron Rodgers is walking everybody into that room in Goodfellas and just whacking them left and right. He whacked Saleh. He whacked Downing, or he whacked Hackett. And I think Mike Williams just got whacked. The receiver who slipped at the end of the game. Yeah, he got whacked. You're not going to see Mike Williams anymore in New York. If he's on the team, he's not going to play. They went out. They get Devontae Adams, which was another whack of another player in the organization.
What was better? The statement, he had nothing to do with Robert Saleh getting fired, or no, the conversation when Woody called, we didn't even bring that up.
Oh, that yeah. That was fantastic. Of course, that's true.
Yeah,
it's all lies. If you believe any of that, I have oceanfront property in Indiana to sell you. By the way, I know we don't have much time here. Did you guys hear or talk about the Jerry Jones audio today out of Dallas?
It's good. We haven't gotten to it yet. It's in the list. I prefer, if you want to look up the, did you see what the West Virginia coach said?
No.
He is facing criticism because they keep losing big games with these great home environments. And he said, yeah, but look around. People are having fun. They should keep coming. Like, it's fun here. Like, dude.
Oh, yeah. So much fun.
Yeah, win a game.
So much fun.
Yeah, that's what you want to hear from the head coach. Yeah, but we're not winning, but you guys are having fun. You're drinking, you're partying, you're tailgating. How are you not loving this?
Oh, man. That's bad. Yeah. The Jones audio, which I hope you guys can play, is unbelievably funny.
It's good stuff, Sam. What should people check out?
BetQL Daily, 9 a.m. Eastern every morning, Monday to Friday. I appreciate you guys.
SP Shoot up on Twitter. A lot of clips from there as well. You can follow him along, but check out the program. Hear everything he's got going on. We will continue. Miles Simmons, we have some things to talk about in the NFL. Pro Football Talk joins us next, coming up as we continue on a Tuesday, Cofield & Company.